Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for the first time in forever, for several months. I'm Tommy.
Long time.
Jamie sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's up?
Not much. And we've got a good crew for you. Actually, this time, we've got our boy, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, I'm good. It's actually sunny here for a change, so that's awesome.
Very nice. We've got our boy, Cabbage. How you doing, Cabbage?
All right.
And we got Chad. How you doing, Chad?
What's up?
We got Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Yeah, I'm rocking Lockdown 2.0.
It's very nice. It just dawned on me that for at least a couple of us, Josh and Chris at least, and Chad, I would imagine, y'all are still in the sunshine. Like, y'all are still having a good day. It's dark here. I don't know. Where are you at? You're a Cabbage. You're kind of in between, aren't you?
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock here, and it's almost sun's gone. So, yeah.
It's still pretty. Yeah. Today was a hot day. Well, not too hot. It's supposed to be in the 90s. But, yeah, the sun's still – I mean, the kids can still go to the pool if they want to. So,
yeah.
105 over here.
Yeah, Texas is hot right now. It's stupid.
We definitely don't have sunshine.
That's, if you decide to live in the devil's anus, you might as well deal with the heat.
Fair enough. So that said,
burn and ring of fire.
We are gonna baby talk video games. We'll see what happens here. The idea really is we'll start with some next gen discussion and we'll see where it devolves into from there. So buckle up, because who knows at this point what's gonna happen. But we'll have a good time.
How's that early reopening going, Texas?
Yeah, you know it's great. Yeah, we're having a good time. We're staying in our house still because we're dumb. So yeah, you know, good times. I mean, Southern California is not doing great either. We just all suck. It's
there's a lot of people here too, though. But there's a lot, like, there's a lot of stupid people here too.
Here too.
All valid.
That's universal.
I live in Orange County, so you know where you see all those like people out there saying, you know, oh my god, and they're in the streets and protesting against masks in California. That's down the street from where I live. I'm not one of those people, but
yeah.
I'm not gonna say that I'm from the, you know, best province or state in North America right now. So that's boding well in our favor.
Fair enough. There was a national news story. This is already digressed. We'll get back to it, I promise. But there was a national news story, I don't know, y'all might have seen or not, of a hairdresser in the Dallas area that was refusing to close down and the governor got her out of jail and senators showed up at her place to get their haircut and all that stuff. That's literally two blocks from my house. Like, that's across the corner of the major intersection. It's right next to my house. So if you heard that story, that's where I live. We're
smack dab in the middle of this thing.
Yeah. So we
could all live in Florida.
Thank God. Let's live in all the Florida people out there. I'm an introvert, as we've talked about a ton on this show already, and so staying inside doesn't bother me a ton. But my poor little girl is going nuts. I need to see people. So, anyway, hopefully everybody's staying safe, everybody's staying healthy, and we're glad you are all here. We are going to try again to talk about video games. We'll see what happens. So, next gen is coming. We've had the big press event from Sony. We've got the big Xbox press event coming in a couple of weeks. We already know a lot about the Xbox Series X. Obviously, they've talked about a lot, and so we've got a lot to compare at this point with those two consoles. And so, really, my wide open question at this point to get us rolling is just what are you thinking and what do you want? And so I'll go to Cabbage first. What are you thinking about next gen and which one, if not both of these, are you looking forward to?
Yeah, so I think you guys have probably said the same thing. It seems like the typical answer to this question is if you have a gaming PC already, you probably aren't super interested in the Xbox One X, you know? But there is a little caveat with that. And so I have to talk about the PS5 with that too. So yeah, I'm definitely getting a PS5. I mean, I kind of have to. But the thing about these, this generation that's coming up that's different from what we normally get is that I feel like these consoles, I mean, specifically with the PS5, I know for sure based on what they've talked about with its the way it's using its specialized SSD, they are going to be better than PCs. I mean, it's not a question. Now, it depends on what you're talking about. So PCs are still going to be able to, depending on how you have it built, are going to be able to do, you know, crazy 4K resolutions on really nice monitors at high frame rates. These new consoles may or may not do that, but the definitely the thing it's going to be able to do better than a PC will be able to do for a while is load times. And we know just based on games like, what's it called? Ratchet and Clank, the new Ratchet and Clank. That game, will you won't be able to play that on a PC. Because of the way that it's using the PS5 hardware, like it's just not going to work. So to me, it's like you have to at least get one. I'm going to get a PS5. It's not really yet on an Xbox One X until it's demonstrated that like playing Halo Infinite is just infinitely better than on a PC. Like to me, I'm waiting for that answer. But yeah, for right now, it's I'm definitely getting PS5.
Yeah. Fair answer. Chris, what about you? What are your thoughts at this point?
Yeah, I think he echoed a lot of exactly what I'm thinking too. I think that those the new consoles are going to really demonstrate what ray tracing. I mean, we're going to have some beautiful games. Like if you look at the new Horizon Zero Dawn and Spider-Man, like they look gorgeous and they're going to perform well at 30 frames per second. I have a funny feeling that they're going to have a hard time reaching 60 frames per second, like a, you know, $1,200-$1,300 PC build. I still think that the PCs are going to edge on frame rate, but I don't think anybody's really going to care. I think they're still going to love the look. They just look gorgeous. So they're gonna be good for a while, but I know that the Zen 3, as soon as these consoles get dropped, the Zen 3 is gonna drop for the PC. So you know it's not gonna take long. PC users are gonna be going, crap, we put all this money into this thing, and now we could have bought a PS5, but you know shortly thereafter they're gonna take off too. So it's the same old cycle for a while. I think the consoles are going to have the edge, and then shortly thereafter, the PC hardware will come back and then take a bite out of it. But I'm in the same camp. I'm a PS5 guy. You guys have known me on the forum. I love Horizon Zero Dawn, and that blew me away. I was like, I have to have it. So I'm in the same camp for sure.
Very nice, Josh. Same thing. See if you got a different answer for us.
Probably the same for the most part.
He's like, I got a kid. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Well, that's a whole other discussion, but maybe that's for another show. But as far as the next gen, I've been in the PlayStation camp for a long time. I've never really had an Xbox. And so on the PS5 side of things, that's definitely the more interesting console for myself, and that's something I'll definitely be picking up. The games on that, I know in your show it wasn't really something you're into, but the biggest title they've announced so far that's caught my attention has been Gran Turismo. That just looks phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to what they can do with that. And in the Gran Turismo community, it was a big deal because the track that they showed off was Trial Mountain, one of the classic tracks, which hasn't been present for a while. So that's looking really cool. Yeah, there's not much else that no one else has already mentioned. Other than I know a lot of people are sort of clamoring for, you know, demanding blood, and they want from Sony, and they want 4K 60 frames per second as a minimum, and all this sort of stuff. Which I'd I don't have a 4K screen in my house, and I probably won't for some time. It's just not something I'm willing to invest in just yet. I don't have a need to, so 1080p is fine for me. So I'd much rather have a high frame rate 1080p with some anti-aliasing or something like that. With concentrate on the gameplay and the lighting and the frame rate rather than pure resolution. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go with that. The Xbox side, it's interesting. I think Xbox is trying to build up their ecosystem, and they're trying to keep people in their ecosystem. And if I'm perfectly honest, I think long-term plan, I think it might actually be the better strategy. I'm much more excited for the PlayStation 5 hardware, but I realize we're all probably in the minority as far as mainstream gamers go these days. So I think long-term plan, I think Microsoft is probably playing the long game and might be more successful. So,
yeah. Two quick things for you, Josh. First, I'm glad that we've identified one of the Gran Turismo people amongst us. That's really great because we know they exist and it's been so hard to find. So that's awesome. But I do have a question for you. I'm just curious about the kind of gaming culture in Australia. If it's similar to it is here, if you can speak into it at all, as far as kind of the competition between PlayStation, Xbox. Do they feel basically on the same level there, or is there more of a kind of balance tip towards Sony in Australia? Does it feel like, again, generations, it gets a little weird, and so maybe comparing last generation to this generation to next generation is a little bit strange. But what does that feel like to you there?
Yeah, I'd say from what I can tell, it seems pretty similar to the US. So if we're going back to like the PS3 and Xbox 360, the Xbox 360 clearly dominated the numbers. And then, there was a late resurgence of PS3. Excuse me. Likewise, this generation, it seems that the PS4 has dominated again. Like, I don't know anybody that has an Xbox One X other than the one that came with their TV, maybe. They got some bundle deal. Or people that want 4K, like use it as a 4K Blu-ray player or something. But, it's hard because maybe there's a bit of bias. I play PS4, so maybe I'm not actively searching for the Xbox community. But I would say that, the PS4 does seem to be a lot more dominant. And the Xbox is, not so much. It seems to be people that have friends that have Xboxes will continue to get them so they can play with their friends. But otherwise, PlayStation is much more dominant. If we're getting really into details, the only period, the generation of consoles, I really see a difference between Australia and the US is back like 16-bit era. The Super Nintendo it's still very popular here, but I think the Sega Mega Drive here, Genesis there, was the dominant console here. But that's probably as far back as you have to go to get a big divergence.
Yeah, well, that's a divergence for sure. Yeah. Chad, thoughts? Next gen, what are you thinking at this point?
I'm waiting to see what Xbox finally, rather than just showing us some really shoddy video and stuff. Hopefully they'll step up their game here. What is it, July 24th, and really show us some Halo but the Xbox X Series, it just looks like a beast, and I'm really confident in what they can put out. I like the Xbox. I mean, when it comes down to third party games, which is a pretty darn good amount of what I play is third-party stuff. I go 1X pretty much exclusively. I mean, I think my PlayStation until The Last of Us didn't get turned on. I actually turned my PlayStation on when we moved for it to do all its updates, so like I wouldn't get screwed out of playing The Last of Us like when I had time to finally play it. So primarily my gaming is on Xbox. But as soon as they showed me Horizon Zero Dawn 2, my whole opinion changed, or at least what system I was going to get first. Like, you know, my thoughts changed on that, because I think they're saying like 2021, so not that far off for that to be released, or at least that's the rumors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Spider-Man on PS5 and Horizon Zero Dawn, I might have to wait, especially since I can still play Halo on my Xbox X or Xbox One X, and it'll still look pretty darn good. So I don't know. I'll have both of them eventually.
Right. You'll have three of both of them eventually, I would imagine.
No, that's just the Switches, man. Because my kids, I got a bunch of kids, and they all have Switches. I'm telling you, man, you've got one kid. Once you have other kids, like the whole idea of like sharing, like that's like this fairy tale of in the fucking movie world that people like kids share. No, they fucking don't share. They don't share. They don't want to. So that you can have peace of mind as a parent, I go buy another one. And what are those Switch lights? They cost $200, you know, and then my wife gets 15% off of them because she's a manager for Target. So I go, I mean, whatever. Nice. For my peace of mind, I mean, that takes me like 3 hours to earn it. Like, I'll go fucking buy them 10 more Switches if they'll leave me alone.
Peace of mind. I love it.
$200 here, $200 there, whatever. I'm
telling you.
So on that, no,
but you know, hey, I just posted some more pictures. Like, I finally have got all their setups in their rooms up. They each got 43-inch TVs. They got Switches, and then one of them, my youngest, who she's like, the other ones will play Switch. Like, they like Animal Crossing, but they're not like big on games, so whatever. They like, you know, some of the basics. My youngest, who's going to be 8, like, she loves everything. She plays. She's downstairs playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey right now on my new 75 4K. Hey. But she's playing on that. So I put an Xbox One S in her room, and she's been playing on that. But she hasn't gotten into PlayStation too much yet. But I don't know. You know, they all seem to like it, you know, and I'll get them set up, and everybody has their own fun little spaces. But today was kind of finishing up the wires and all that stuff.
So since you brought it up, Chad, I want to go off the rails for a second.
Wait, oh, you want to go off the rails?
Because
that shit's never happened.
That's the entire point of this show, bro. That's what we do.
Jamie Dornan, king of going off the rails. What can help?
So I have the Switch dock in my house, right?
Yeah.
And so we got that plugged in. It's all set up. It's good to go. It's on a 65-inch 4K screen. It looks gorgeous. And so my niece is sitting in the living room playing Animal Crossing. And you talk about something that would totally steal your soul and all of your time. Like, that thing is insane.
I might be that curmudgeon. I mean, you guys talk about being curmudgeons. I'm going to be 43 years old in a couple of weeks. Like, I'm, you know, so like, I'm legit. I don't get Animal Crossing. Like,
I don't, my kids really will talk about
it. They all play it. I bought them all a copy. I don't get it. Like, and I have friends that play it. It just, it's not my bag at all. But they all have copies. That's why my oldest like plays her Switch, is because she wanted to play Animal Crossing. So I don't get it.
So my niece, because this is the first time I've really seen it, because it's the first, you know, the show has a Switch, but it lives with zombies. And so now we have a dock for when he comes and when she's here and whatever. And so I'm watching this thing, and she's scrolling through all the stuff that she's got, and she's like, I have the biggest house that I can have, and my inventory is full, and I can't do anything. And I'm like, what are you going to do with all this stuff? And she's like, I don't know. It's just there.
Are you saying this to me because you're seeking a reaction? Because I'm telling you right now, like, everything you're saying to me is gibberish. I have no idea what you're talking about. I won't even look at them when they play it. Like, I have no
idea. It's crazy to me, this game.
They talk about like opening up their islands and stuff, and I'm like, you do you, boo. Like, I don't know what the fuck you kids are doing.
And I think Tommy knows, because Tommy and Genevieve play on the island quite a bit on Animal Crossing. Oh, okay. And so I'm curious about his thoughts on the Animal Crossing, because like I'm looking at it going, this is insane, this thing.
Wait, there's Tommy.
I'm back.
There he is. Oh, there we go.
So whatever technology, y'all just talked about for a few minutes.
Jamie got on the webcam and he was about to do a what is that? The OnlyFans.
Just real quick to get your two cents on this, Tommy. Yes. I was talking about the craziness that is Animal Crossing. I was telling the guys that Avery has so much stuff that she has no place to store it all. Like, just walls and walls and walls of stuff.
Yeah.
And I watched for like 2 hours today, and I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't know that I could explain it to you, but I've played it today. You know, like, I've pulled it up. It's the only thing I'm playing on my Switch right now. But it's like that 20-minute thing that I'm like, okay, well, I just have a little bit of time to burn here. Let me grab this really quick. And Genevieve loves it. Genevieve loves just watching and helping me pick apples and whatever. And so it's fun for me to get her involved as well. I couldn't tell you what the appeal of it is. The weird little dude that like comes around to catch bugs on your island showed up on my island today, and I was like legit excited about that. And that's a really weird thing to be excited about. It's a bizarre thing.
It's crazy.
So weird.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Speaking of OnlyFans, you know,
extra.
You guys know, it's weird. You know, you always talk about, you know, you always hear about like, hey, what if you had one of those friends that you went to high school that like got into porn or whatever? Like, so this is really talking about off the rails. Talk about off the rails. One of my really good friends, like she got on soap operas and then she was on Boy Meets World, and now she converted from that to a porn star. So she's like one of the biggest OnlyFans out there. She makes like 60, 70 grand a month doing that OnlyFans shit. Like, wow. We're doing the wrong fucking thing.
I imagine she's more attractive than any of us.
She's much more attractive. I don't know if you guys know who Maitland Ward is. But she was on Boy Meets World, and now her big thing is she transitioned to porn, so she's been all out there. And then I'll have other people message me, how are you friends with her? I'm like, girl's getting her money 70 grand a month. What do you want? Not, I mean, if a guy was doing it, it'd be okay, but whatever, 70 grand a month, man. I'm jealous.
So speaking of money and where.
So all that to say, Jamie, get naked, buddy. Shake that money.
There's surely a market for it out there somewhere.
Ain't nobody want to see that.
There's somebody.
I was going to ask before Skype kicked me off and that happened. Price point. what would be acceptable, especially PlayStation 5? That's the big question at this point. I think we got a better idea of what the Xbox price point is going to be, but PlayStation 5, we have no clue. So having heard that everybody wants one, that everybody's planning on picking up a PlayStation 5, what is the price that would change your mind? What is too high practically for you? Anybody want to jump in here?
They're going to have to be $500 each. I mean, that's really the price point that, you know, that they're going to have slim margins on them, but really they need to make their money up on games. But that kind of seems to be what the market is going to bear. And I think Sony probably wants to come out a little higher than that. And that's why they're playing a little game of chicken between them and Microsoft to see if anybody, you know, comes out either higher or a little bit lower so that maybe they can undercut each other a little bit. There's a reason why neither of them wants to be first right now and announce so that the other one can't come out and go, hey, we're $50 cheaper, you know, which doesn't sound like much, but, you know, in especially these times and in people's psyche, like $50 may mean a lot.
That's fair.
Well, and that was my argument about the games on the last show. Like, $70 is a lot of money for a game, and we're going to pay it because when something goes up, poor gamers, and we pay it. But that was my argument for that on the last show. It's like $70 for a game's a lot of money.
Well, you got to think yes and no, and I heard you saying that, but you know, I also like to break it down in cost of entertainment. So if you think, like, if I go to the movies, that my cost of entertainment is $14 for a ticket, you know, another $5-6 for a Coke. So by the time I'm done out of there, especially if I take my whole family, you know, we're $70 in, and it's a 2-hour experience. So that basically cost me $35 an hour, you know, and you can break it amongst five people or whatever, but it still ends up being like $10 per hour of experience. Whereas if I play The Last of Us at 30 hours, you know, is kind of what people are saying, and there's good replayability. Even at $70, you're talking about $2 an hour of excellent entertainment. You know, with a 100-hour game, you know, an Assassin's Creed or whatever, you're talking about pennies on the dollar for entertainment. So even at $70, depending on the investment that you're going to use. I mean, if you play Destiny, and I think over the course of Destiny, I probably invested about $200 in it, you know, in the different versions and the different packs and the different whatever, and I fell out of it after a while. Maybe I invested $150, but I probably put 300 hours into it. So that breaks down to 50 cents an hour, you know, which is fairly cheap when you think about things in comparison of entertainment. If you go to a concert, how much does a 2-hour concert, 3-hour concert cost? $100 each, $150 each. Video games are still insanely expensive on the per hour investment.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can rationalize it out in a practical way. Yet we have an expectation of what a video game costs. And as soon as you raise price on it, it's going to at least cause people some pause about it.
Yeah, and then you wait till they go on sale.
That's right. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a logical conclusion now.
What do you guys think about the discless version versus potential backwards compatibility with the PS4? Which version are you going to go for and why?
I've said before that the discless version is more appealing to me because of that price. I love the idea of backwards compatibility, but to be honest, I don't own that many games on disc for PlayStation 4 that I've want backwards compatible. I've bought every recent big title digitally, and so I'm already kind of bought over to the digital side of things. I get for people who have used trade-ins as like the way to save money on video games, of how continuing physical media is obviously appealing there. But for me, I've not bought physical games in so long. Even with the backwards compatibility thing, I have a closet full of like older, you know, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 2, original PlayStation titles behind me, and I love those games, you know, and I like having those available. But I'm not going back to them, right? Like, at this point, I'm just too old and too busy. As much as I would love to break some of those things out, it just isn't going to happen. And so if I can save $100 on a console, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny about that is when we started this show, before you guys came along and started paying for stuff, he didn't buy anything.
Yeah,
and so like renting games was a huge deal, and then the show came along, and you guys came along, we started buying stuff, and once you start doing that, like, I totally get the benefit of the total digital thing, and if I were. Now that I have an accessibility controller, it may change because I'm going to be playing more games. But right now, what gets the most use out of my PlayStation is the Blu-ray player. Like, it's hands down. So I think it depends on how you use it.
Yeah, 100%. If you're using it as a media box, then it's a no-brainer. My guess, this is something I will be totally wrong about, so hold it against me in 5 months or whatever. But I wouldn't be surprised to see that at launch, the digital version sells out super fast because it's the cheaper option, and people will want the cheaper option. And so if you want to be an early adopter, it's going to be easier past the initial launch to probably get a more expensive disk-based version than it's going to be to get the cheaper diskless version. And so that said, there's a good chance I'll end up with the disk-based version because it's all that's available, and I'll pay the premium to get it at that point. We'll see. I don't know what their plans are as far as production and all that kind of stuff, but that's just kind of my guess. So, Cabbage, what were your thoughts there?
I was going to say, a couple things. I kind of think, I really feel like probably, has the Xbox One, okay, what is it called? The Xbox Series X. haven't they talked about doing a similar thing, a diskless version?
Yeah, so that's one of the things.
Well, they haven't necessarily directly shown it Sony has.
They haven't announced it yet, but that's one of the big things. I think that they've said now that it may come out in August that they'll announce it, but I think there's a good chance of this thing. That's going to be the Series S. That's like the hybrid streaming console, so it's not going to be nearly as powerful. So it would differentiate from the PS5 in that way. My assumption is that the PS5 will be every bit as powerful disc-based or digital edition. It's just whether or not you have the disc drive. The Xbox approach seems to be a more powerful version and a less powerful version that is streaming based, or at least hybrid streaming based. Again, they haven't announced that for sure, so we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, I think so. I didn't even actually know that. That kind of sucks for the Microsoft side of things, because I feel like they should do the same thing that Sony's doing, which is just offer a version that doesn't have a disc drive, but whatever. But anyway, I feel like at least for what Sony's trying to do, and once we get the pricing, it will really probably show this more, because I would imagine that it's going to, at the very least, it's going to be $50 less than the disc version. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's $100 less, because I think they want to push the discless version, because for obvious reason of they're going to make more money probably off of, if they get more and more people to adopt the PC way of gaming, you know, because PC's been here for, I don't remember the last time games were mass produced on discs on PC. People haven't done that forever. So I think that they want people to get that to that point where they're just used to always going to the Sony store and buying the game there the vast majority of the time, unless there's different sales of codes and places. But like vast majority of the time, they want people to go there. And right now, there's probably a lot of people that do that just for convenience, but probably still a lot of people that buy the discs. And I sometimes have, but I've slowly gotten to the point where, like you, Tommy, I don't remember the last time I bought a disc console game.
Yeah.
It's always digital, and all my library right now on Sony is on my account, and it's just like Steam. I don't have to worry about it. You know, it's there.
Yeah.
And I prefer that over the disc now. I'm probably going to get, even though, yeah, if it really is totally or mostly backwards compatible to PS4, that is a really cool thing that technically I'm giving up the ability to get like a cheaper PS4 disc and just put it in there. But I've realized that even though the idea sounds great, I almost never go back and play older games. Like the last time I've done that was playing the first Last of Us, replaying it, like the week before the new game came out. Like, I almost never do that, though. Even though it always sounds cool, I just usually never want to put the time into an older game, even if I loved it. So it's just, I'm probably going to get the discless version for sure.
On that price point, what would be too much, in your opinion, for a PlayStation 5, disc-based or discless?
They're definitely probably not going to, they're probably not going to repeat the mistake of a $600 version at all. Like, I don't think it's they're going to do that for either console. I think it's going to be $500 for the most expensive version, and then they're going to do a $400 or $450 for the, whether it's lower powered for Xbox or just discless. And I just think if you have a console sitting there that's probably going to be $400 or $450, and if I don't really, because I the only thing I could justify it with the disc, once I get past the like, okay, I don't buy disc games, I don't really want to replay old stuff, is I do actually, I'm one of those people that buy 4K Blu-rays. But I already have an Xbox One S, and it's literally my media box. So I'm just going to keep that thing until it dies, like for a 4K Blu-ray player. Like I don't, so that's my thing, is like, I just don't see a reason for that. So yeah, I would say, but max I want to pay is probably like 500, I guess. It would suck. I would hope the discless version would be at least $50 cheaper, but yeah, probably 500.
Yeah, that seems like the number that most people are coming up with. Chris, any thoughts on price point?
I agree. I think that, well, and in Canada, for me, it's even worse. So it's it's bumped by like another $75. So I think the same. I think that if it's $499 US, that would be the break point for me. I'm hoping that the other one comes in at $399 and it's $100 cheaper, and they can go with the digital. But I agree. I think if it pushes to $600, it's going to be a killjoy for sure.
That's fair. So far, yeah, we're
pay all that extra $75 and you don't have to have Trump as your president. Let's just.
Oh, that would be worth it for sure.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Love it. Yeah.
Josh, any thoughts on price point?
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough once again. The price is getting a bit murky. The exchange rate's going up and down like a yo-yo at the moment. But historically speaking, a new console launch, there's always a pretty hefty premium on that sort of hardware when it comes out here as well. So, I'm actually pushing, I'd be banking that it'd be, four figures here. So $1,000 Australian, which is about $700 US at the moment. Which sounds insane, but I wouldn't be, if it came out at that price, I'd probably say, yeah, okay, I'm not surprised. So
goodness, God bless you.
Yeah, video games over
there. Consumer electronics are crazy expensive. So
that's nuts.
Well, yeah,
good to know. Any of you guys jumped on Stadia?
You know what was great about that funny. Is the absolute sincerity. There was not an ounce of cynicism.
I got a whiff of a beard.
No, I wasn't kidding. I actually had it, so I was wondering if you guys had it.
No, I was actually hoping it would work out okay. I'm waiting on the Xbox thing so that, you know, it just makes it easier for my kids to pick up a controller and go play Xbox in whatever room and where I can play in my, but Stadia, I actually hope, like, hey, maybe that'll be a solution if I do want to play some games on vacation or, like, my wife and I, when we move now, we put in the bedroom and we just have a Roku box so that, you know, we can enjoy movies in here or whatever. And I didn't put any games in here, but every once in a while, maybe I'd like to play a game in here. But you know, that's the kind of solution I'm hoping that, I mean, hopefully Xbox gets that figured out. And,
yeah. You know, at launch, I wasn't that stoked about the titles and what they had on there. And because I already had like Odyssey on disc for PS4. So I wasn't like, oh, I got to get Odyssey and get into it on Stadia. But, you know, just recently I had invested up front in their package and have been paying the monthly fee.
It still exists.
It's actually, you know, the gaming experience on it is really good. And I, just recently they put the Division 2 on there and I was like, awesome. And so actually from that perspective, it's kind of gathering my interest a little bit. The performance has been good. I've got a 600 meg connection here. I'm thinking about upgrading to fiber gig, but it's for exactly what Chad said. I mean, it's a pretty portable thing that you can take around with you and it works pretty good.
I
like the idea of it for sure. It's just that for a lot of people, it does the experience, like the technical experience of it works fine because they have decent internet and I have decent internet, but my problem is the library It is not it's not captivated me. Like I don't see the point in using it yet. But I like the idea that it exists, and I guess it's cool that a company like Google is the one that's doing it because they'd be willing to just sit through the losses probably for a while as opposed to other people. So hopefully they influence this, you know, along with Microsoft and what they're going to be doing.
It just feels dead in the water, though. Like, they're not talking about it anymore. They're not doing anything with it anymore. You know, remember Google Plus? You know, yeah, remember, I mean, all these things, like...
I was just
All this stuff comes out like gangbusters, and then now it's fucking Google Hangouts, go all that shit. Like, as soon as they find out, like, well, you know what? Maybe this isn't a market for us.
Yeah, it, probably. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
What's gonna happen? It's just weird. What I hope is that infrastructure that they, you know, that they developed, that they're able to sell it to Sony or Microsoft, and it can be integrated. I mean, don't let it go away. Like, the infrastructure's there, you know, and everything. I don't know. I don't know, but yeah, no, it didn't pan out. No one really had too high hopes with it. And hopefully, again, that Microsoft is doing it the right way, that you'll be able to have full access to all the games, and my kids are fighting with each other somewhere.
Get another Switch.
If they could port, some libraries over to that technology, it would be wicked.
Yeah. I've talked about it a lot, that I really enjoyed the technology, and I have a gigabit connection, so I didn't have hardly any issues with it at all. That's obviously going to be a hang up for a lot of people still. I to echo what several other people said at this point, I think it's Microsoft's game at this point to really jump in and kind of take over that market. And if they do it, the thing with Google doing it in a, as not being an established company in the gaming world, right? And doing it as just this standalone software based product, it just, you know, that without the backing of the library like Microsoft would have, Microsoft has the ability to kind of bridge the gap of doing this hybrid console that's kind of getting you into the streaming game, that they can kind of incrementally increase how much you are doing the streaming side of things as opposed to how much you're running stuff locally in a way that's going to be fairly seamless, especially for people who don't have that gigabit connection yet, so that as internet speeds just gradually increase, as they will, that people just don't feel a change. And then whatever, you know, the next gen is, PS6, Xbox, whatever generation is, like, at that point, it just feels comfortable to have streaming games for a large portion of the world. I think Microsoft is a company that's really set up to do that, and I think it was Josh earlier saying that Microsoft is really set up for the long game. I think that's probably true. I think they probably have better prospects of being at where gaming is going when gaming gets there, if that sentence makes any sense.
Just to piggyback off what Chad said, because it's really interesting. I've been watching.
Wait, which part of what I said? I said some fucked up shit. Let's be honest.
I've been watching Google for the last couple months, and you made a good point with Google Plus and Hangouts and all that. That's what terrifies me about them. Is because when they decide something's not going to work, they fade it out. But I've noticed in the last couple of months that all of that stuff is kind of sort of coming back, because they have Google Meet now, which is their meeting platform, which is what Hangouts used to be.
Oh, I thought that's where you could order some nice cuts of steak.
The point is, they're bringing all of this stuff back out of mothballs because they had to. People are asking for it, and so that's the one thing that I kind of am kind of gave me a little faith that. Yeah, they may not be talking a lot about it now, but when they realize, hey, there's a market here, and we can still pull it off, they could either sell it or bring it back out.
Yeah.
If they could not make it flourish during the pandemic when people need entertainment and cheaply, I mean, every video game system is out of stock right now. My wife works for Target, and one of the departments she runs is then, you know, is I don't know why she runs the video game department. My wife does no jack shit about video games, but she knows how to be a retail store manager. But my friends asked me, like, can she get a hold of even an Xbox? And she's like, no, we haven't seen Switches forever, you know. And if we do have a Switch, like, they're gone within seconds. If we do have an Xbox, they're gone within seconds. So if Google, I mean, you don't have to do anything. You just order it, and you get the little controller, and you get going. They have not been able to capitalize during this time when gaming is whatever percentage increase that they have right now, which is actually pretty large, then they're not going to survive. Like
my pushback with that to that would be they're just not positioned to be the pioneers in it, you know, and I think that's shown. They just don't have.
Well, they stopped backing. Advertising it.
Sure, yeah, right? They're not trying super hard right now. They do have an event, I think, that's happening. Maybe it already happened. They had a summer event planned for a Stadia showcase kind of thing. I don't even know when it is because again, nobody really cares right now. But as soon as Microsoft establishes it, saying Microsoft is the one that can establish it is as a mainstream thing, Google and Amazon are going to be right there, right? Like they're going to be the ones that are more poised to capitalize on that than a company like Sony will. Sony, I could see at that point, is going to become either heavy software kind of publisher throughput, or is going to partner with Amazon or Google or some other company like that that's got the infrastructure to actually deliver this. Because that's something Microsoft has that Sony doesn't, right? That Sony just doesn't have these massive network farms to be able to pull this off, whereas a company like Google or Amazon or Microsoft is more set for that. And so Google doesn't have the ability to make it mainstream. Even I agree, but they're missing so much opportunity right now. It just seems right.
Yeah, if they had gotten some steam going into this thing that obviously nobody was able to predict, right. they would have had the you know, sort of Animal Crossing thing of like, oh, this thing that's already was successful is now like doubly successful because of the circumstances. Like, I think that's what would have happened with Stadia, but they just didn't. I mean, I don't know anybody that's even tried it. I mean, except for, I guess, on this roundtable, right. Beyond that. But I mean, people I know, like I don't, anybody I know who plays games, I don't, actually, most of them might not even know about it.
Yeah, like, it's not something that's out there. It's not something that they push a lot of. And it's lots of questions of why that is. But for whatever reason, it's not. But it's viable. It works as a service. It works really well. If they had a compelling library, I would still be there, too. I was one of the founders as well. Technically, y'all were one of the founders as well. We used show money to try out Stadia when it came out. And again, the service works. It's a good service if you've got the internet to support it. And that's a big if. But if you've got the internet to support it, it's a good service. And they just don't have the compelling library to me. I was in the same boat with Assassin's Creed. I already had it because I played it on their beta thing for Stadia, whatever they called that before, that then they give you a free copy whenever they shut that down. And so I got to play tons of that game, never paid for it. It was great. That was the only compelling title for me, and I already had it, you know. And so that was the issue to me, is they just don't have a library to support the service at this point. But the service, solid. It's really, really good. And so that's something that it feels like they can build off of once somebody else makes that market more viable. So I don't know.
Anybody remember On Live?
Absolutely.
Remember that? See, that was, they didn't have anything going for them. Like, at least Google's like, hey, it works.
Yeah. Well, we talked about On Live a ton on this show,
and we
right?
used it.
We did.
We used it.
I tried it too. It was not good.
It wasn't good. But there were lots of reasons at that point that wasn't viable. They were way ahead of the game in what the future of video games would likely be. We still haven't got there. You know, it's 2020, and that was 10, 15 years ago we were talking
about
online.
But I do think, and we always say it, but it is eventually going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just what makes the most sense for especially these companies to just be like, hey, we'll just stream the game to you.
So
I would say it's eventually going to happen.
So real quick, we're running out of time here, but if we all agree that it's eventually going to happen, because I just had this discussion with my niece. My niece wants to see a particular movie. She wants to see Singing in the Rain, you know, 1952 Singing in the Rain. And the people that have it is Disney Plus. And I'm the one guy on the planet that doesn't have Disney Plus. And so I asked her, I said, do you want me to turn on Disney Plus? Because it'll take 2 seconds. And she's like, well, do you have some other place to get it? And I'm like, well, yeah, I still get Blu-rays from Netflix. And so I went to Netflix and ordered the Blu-ray, and it'll be here like Thursday. My point is,
are we
going to get to the point with the streaming services where, because there's like three different streaming services that have this movie, and she's like, which one of these would you, like, how do you want to do this? And I use like two of the five streaming services. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we're gonna have.
How do I tip?
I think we're gonna have all of these game streaming services, and it's just who's got the better software.
Yeah, 100%. Shirtless Chad just popped up on all of our screens. So.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't see that, but I'm glad I did.
It was pretty hot.
That was good. I can't understand the why you haven't got Disney Plus, man. Have you not watched The Mandalorian?
You can get it. Well, yeah, you can get it with Hulu, which you probably already have. You can get a cheap version with Hulu and in some ESPN fucking thing. I don't even know what it gives you because there's no sports right now. God damn it. But you can get that all for like $13 a month. I just need it.
Like, I got to.
You need it.
Mandalorian is so good that even the new gallery, which is the behind the scenes of Mandalorian, is awesome.
Oh yeah, Mandalorian
kids are fucking running up and down the hallway, screaming and fighting with each other. So I try and put myself on mute and turn my damn camera. I don't even know. Kill him.
Good times. I do think there is a legit point in there that we're seeing with video streaming right now that will inevitably happen with game streaming as well. That it'll just get to the point that it decentralizes so much that you're going to pay for 20 different services just to have access to everything. But to be fair, right now, I'm doing that with games anyway, not for streaming, but just for, we have a Humble Bundle subscription. We do Xbox Live or Xbox Game Pass. We do PlayStation Plus. It already has that issue, if you want to call it an issue. It has that thing where things are compartmentalized.
I kind of wonder how that's going to work, though. Because right now, yes, with game, so there's, it's not really streaming yet, but if we look at subscription stuff, there's Game Pass on Xbox. Sony, like, kind of has its PlayStation Plus thing that doesn't have as much, but it's there. And then you have, like, the individual publishers that are trying to do stuff, too. And yep. I guess they're fairly successful because they still exist. Like, Ubisoft has one. EA, I think, has one.
Sure.
Well, I know they have one because I've used it. But I kind of wonder if what it's eventually going to get to is we're going to have Game Pass that's going to also have a lot of third-party stuff, which it already does, including it's going to eventually have launch third-party stuff.
Yep.
Release date, I mean. And then Sony's going to have its thing that's going to have a lot of crossover with Game Pass as well. Like, third-party publishers are just going to use PlayStation Plus and Game Pass. And I feel like those two are going to primarily be the ones that survive. And then they're just going to become the two little places that everything gets funneled into.
Maybe.
And eventually those will include streaming. They won't just be subscription. Like, sure. Obviously, I think eventually, even though it might not seem like it's going to work right now, it just seems like the obvious place that it's going to go to, where Microsoft and Sony are going to be like, it's going to make more sense for you maybe as a consumer to stream it because they're going to sell a way cheaper box for you to stream it on.
But if you don't even need their box to stream it on, could just stream it on whatever, what is EA then? Yeah,
your new Samsung TV.
Exactly.
Your DualSense, whatever they're calling it, will just link up to it wirelessly, just like Stadia does right now. That's the idea behind it, is that it's your controller that you kind of sign in with.
And so at that point,
your TV just does it. And if your internet's good enough and if their support's good enough, so what's really the difference?
But why does EA then at that point want to partner with Microsoft or Sony when they can just do Origin on their own?
I think it would depend on how people respond to paying for multiple things.
Sure.
Because right now with streaming, people seem to be, even though they complain about it.
To run on.
What? Sat?
Well, I was just saying, to hit to Tommy's point, it still needs a platform to run on.
That's like very fair.
Then EA would have to then go build their own, you know.
Well, what I mean is, why wouldn't EA just use, yes, they'll make less money. It depends on if people are willing to, like, exclusively, like, you can't play the new EA game unless you have EA, I don't know if they call it Origin, whatever, or EA Access. Sorry, it's called Access.
Yeah.
If people would be willing to have to also pay for that to be able to play the new EA, to play the new Madden or something like that, you know? If people seem more willing to just pay Game Pass to play the new Madden, and you'd have to, like, do a thing where you bundle Game Pass with EA in some way. Like, I feel like at some point they're just going to be piggybacking off of Microsoft, whatever Microsoft or Sony does.
Yeah. Chad's absolutely right. The infrastructure is what's going to make that difference there of who can actually run it. And that's, again, where I think Microsoft is just set up for the future so much better.
Or this is Google where hopefully or Amazon. Google, Google should be listening right now.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you work for Google? Is that what you're about?
No, I don't.
Got stock in Google.
So, all that said, we're all basically on the same page here and pumped about the PlayStation 5 and excited to see what's happening.
We didn't talk about The Last of Us at all. That's why I even showed up tonight.
So, Chad, would you like to talk about The Last of Us at all?
Oh, Tommy. Spoilers.
No spoilers. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
I know. That's
avoid
what I'm worried
spoilers.
About.
I definitely avoid spoilers. I mean, there's so many good I mean, it's hard. It's one of those ones where, like you said, I think it's been talked to death about the original Last of Us. Like, was it fun?
No,
I wouldn't say that. Like, it's particularly fun. Like, I'm not like, well, okay. I'm enjoying playing it. I think the experience is superb, though. You know, whereas if you go watch The Handmaid's Tale, you know, The Handmaid's Tale isn't particularly a fun show, but it's so well done and crafted and written.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah. You know, something along those lines. And it's just so incredibly well done. And I've only gotten probably, you know, halfway through it at this point, and I've invested, you know, quite a bit. And I got a late start because I was in the middle of moving. Actually started moving the day it came out. But I've been sitting down and getting, I'm going to try and get an hour in tonight. But really just enjoying going through the story. There's a lot, man, there's so many things that I'm trying to, like, keep myself from saying, but it has some very good Last of Us turns, you know, and how there were so many questions from the last one. I think it was you guys were talking about the ending and how you weren't particularly fond of it. And I think it was you guys that were talking about that. And did it end in the car? No, it actually ended about them showing up at Jackson and, you know, we're here. And then it kind of ends with them, like, looking down at the city. That's the way the last one. And a lot of people that upset them, you know, that it just kind of ended like that. And Joel hadn't come clean to Ellie. And of course, no spoilers, we know that was something that was going to be central in addressing, or that story was what was going to be addressed in this. I mean, or at least we could have, you know, rightly assumed that. But the way that they've handled it, for me, has been superb. You know, and how they're addressing that part of the story and you know, what that did and does to their relationship and creates this path of events and, you know, and how it changes all these people's lives and everything. I'm 100% in on it so far. I can't say anything that I don't particularly like yet.
Yeah.
Plus, totally. I'm playing on a fucking massive TV, which is awesome.
That does help, I'm sure. Yeah.
75. It's awesome.
Any other thoughts on The Last of Us? Anybody else playing it?
I have finished the game. I mean, it's just a masterpiece. I mean, it's actually in my favorite, probably top five favorite games. It's just incredible. Wow. It is definitely not a game that you can really talk about very in depth without spoiling it. Although, sure. I will say, this is not a spoiler at all. It's just a gameplay thing. I think the combat in it, especially once you, again, this is not a spoiler, come on, once you eventually fight, like, actual people, not just the infected, it's like fantastic.
I agree. Like
it's a marked improvement over it's much not better, just the yes. first game,
yes. yeah,
but all the Uncharted games. And it definitely tried to, this is a game in a lot of gameplay mechanic-y stuff. It clearly took a lot from not just the first game, but from all their Uncharted games.
Yeah.
It seems like a culmination of a lot of what they've done. It's just like, this is our greatest hits of what we can do. And now it's like even better. It's great.
I said on the last show, it's alternate reality Rambo. Like it's the cool.
It does feel like.
I love the combat because
just wait till you run into the next character that you play.
Yeah.
That person is a beast.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
And just the way that it changes from Ellie and everything. And that's that. I mean, come on, you change between characters in the last one, so that's not a big
yeah.
You
know, everybody, not, I think,
I can tell you who it is or aware anything like of that,
at this point. So,
I think one of the things I think you guys did talk about one of the flashbacks, and I think they've touched really well. Like in the first game, one of the very special moments in it was the giraffe scene. And you know, there's been articles and probably dissertations written about the Last of Us giraffe scene and what it does for people. And there's actually a couple of them peppered throughout this that she experiences with Joel. And I think you guys talked about the one where they go to the museum, which is fairly early on. And it does. You're in this very downtrodden game where you do feel bleak and anxious and everything. And then it sinks you into something like that. And it really is touching. And, you know, and it feels great. And I did like, I think on the last episode, Tommy talked about like your change of perspective of not being a father to being a father, of where it's, hey, where I understand the fireflies, you know, you sacrifice the one to save the many. And then now I understand the father, which is I'll let all the rest of you burn if it means saving my child.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's a very different perspective, but they're two very, you know, accurate ways to feel as a human being, you know,
this whole game. It's making you feel, I don't want to say
everybody.
Both sides because it's multiple people. And it will make you feel that unless you are incapable and then you might not like the game. it is a game that's like an empathy, like it injects empathy into your veins, like at every moment. And I don't, if you just don't want to experience that, and I think a lot of people that have had problems with the game just don't care for that stuff, or maybe they only care about certain people. But I was like, it is a game that I think like force feeds you empathy towards every person that you encounter, even random people that they like make sure to give names to.
Yeah.
So that when you go in and kill the guy and turn the corner, their friends come around the corner and they say, "Oh my God, they got Daniel." And it's like, but it's insane. I've never played a game that does that. It's awesome.
Well, and that's perfect. You know, a description of it is making you empathize with each character. So maybe you don't agree with every choice that they make, but you understand it. So
just like any good movie would do.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, in so many movies or so many games, this really turns it on its head, where there's so many games where you play and it's black and white. You're the guy and you're going to mow everybody down on the other side. And they're just these faceless villains take Uncharted, and man, you murder 200 people. And this, man, this turns it on its head and shows you the other side.
And let me tell you, as much as you think the game does it, like let's say you're at 15 hours in, it took me about 24 hours to complete. It seems like it really varies for people. But you think the game's done doing that to you. It's not. It's going to do that to you the entire time in new ways. It's going to find new ways to do it. I think it's just an insane achievement. You know, it's preposterous. I love it.
One last thing on the last episode, I think it was Jamie said that, you know, because of this and this popularity, I doubt Neil Druckmann will go for it, but that, you know, there's going to be a Last of Us Part 3. And And Tommy goes, well, that won't come out till we're 50. And I'm working, and I'm listening to this. And I was like, wow, he just threw out a Jamie Jordan, you know, one of, oh, that'll be 100 years. And then I stopped. This literally happened, and Tommy can attest to it. And I stopped what I was doing. I was working, and I did the math in my head, and I said, fuck, if it's the same time frame between games, I'll be like 51 years old when this next one, when the third one comes out. So fuck you both. I feel.
and look, like just real quick, the crazy thing to me about it is that it doesn't. I mean, I think it was you, Cabbage, or I don't remember who posted it in the Facebook page. Might have been Sam that posted it. Nobody in the game is necessarily good. Like, there aren't any good guys in this environment. That to me is what kind of makes it a masterpiece. Because nobody out there is doing right thing. They're just trying to survive.
It's all about perspective is the point, you know, and as you play the game.
There's not a ton of bad guys. There's not the, they're bad just because they're bad.
Right. But at the same time, because the game really gets you into the head of certain people, especially, again, not a spoiler, at some point you play somebody else, especially as you play as that other person, the people that you would normally see as being good, from their perspective, you can understand why they basically see them as what we would call a villain or a bad guy.
Oh, absolutely.
But they sell you on that. Like, I completely understand why that person feels that way, even though me and my godlike perspective, right, because I can see the whole thing, like, I don't exactly agree, but I completely understand why. And that is goddamn good writing.
Like, tell me that even though we saw it was like the first video we saw of this game. But man, I played the scene, I think a day or two ago where the lady goes, clipper wings. And I was like, oh, fuck, what's going on? And they just start bashing her arms. And I was like, oh my God. And they're not pulling any punches, and the camera's not pulling, and they're just smashing the bones in this woman's arm.
Yeah. Like, this is a game. This is a game that has the darkest, most brutal, inhuman moments. But then
next, that's what I'm gonna say from now on.
Yeah, like, the very next part in the game could potentially be some of the most heartwarming, endearing human moments. And it does both. And it does both perfectly. Like, I don't think there's a problem to admit this, but I cried like fucking 5 or 6 times playing this game.
Okay, this is not a spoiler. First, like, 20 because we know too. This is not a spoiler because we know that this is gonna happen. But when they finally have the confrontation of that he lied to her, you know, about what it, that was heartbreaking to me. Like, that's exactly like what you're talking about to me. Between the two of them, and oh my God, her and Joel, and they do it so well, you know. But that interaction right there, that flashback is absolutely heartbreaking. And I won't tell you how it happens, where they go, and how. Oh my God, like, they did it so well.
Yeah, it's masterpiece.
Yeah, that word. Gets, I think we're done stroking off the Last of Us. You know, Neil Druckmann, your hand job is over.
Yeah.
so real quick, I just back on the game pricing.
Yeah.
The Last of Us 2 is worth every bit of $70. I'd have paid
$100. It's worth $100.
Yeah, it's $100.
I didn't bring this up earlier, and we don't need to get back on it. But if we're talking about game pricing, just like Chad was saying, if you really think about it, a game like this is worth $100, and it's not a question to me. Like, I would have paid $100 for this game. Some games should be more than that, potentially, based on how much the crunch and everything, that culture and gaming, you know, maybe some games should be more expensive, but it's, yeah, whatever.
But I think where people get hung up is there's so many games that aren't worth that, like, there's only a handful of The Last of Us.
And if those games, $40 games, try and price themselves as $70 games, they won't get bought, or they shouldn't get bought.
Right.
Which is, you know, another argument for why we should have demos back and things like that, you know, timed demos like you do.
Yeah, you look at that new Star Wars Squadron game, like they're already pricing it at $40. And it's interesting that they would do that because you wonder if what that means when it's EA. You're a little bit more suspicious. But maybe it comes out and you're like, yeah, this should be $40 and I'm totally happy with that. And maybe if it was $60, I'd feel a little less happy about that. Like maybe they're just some games, even if on there, because that game looks AAA, big budget, all that. It doesn't look like you would, you know, typically a game comes out at $20 or $40 and you're like, oh, it's a more indie title, which is kind of stupid that we do that. But you know we do it. But maybe just a lot of games just shouldn't have that expectation of selling at that price, and other ones should. I don't know exactly how to do that, but it's, yeah, whatever.
We need to wrap. I do appreciate the wonderful coded language through that whole Last of Us discussion.
It's
well done. Well done, guys. So. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your patience and not having a roundtable in quite a while. We will definitely have one sooner than we did this past time through. But we do appreciate you guys a ton for all your contributions to the show and just hanging out and talking video games, because it's a whole lot of fun. And so it's a pleasure for us as well. So thank you guys for being here. Any last words before we wrap up? Anybody need to jump in here real quick?
Black Lives Matter.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Very much agreed. So, with that said, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.